Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me today on Hashtag No Limits. Hashtag No Limits is a program about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not what we will be. And I believe that 100%. And I believe that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. The caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells, and then it reforms into the butterfly, and then it has to fight to get out of the cocoon in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly. It has to go through that process in order to be the beautiful butterfly flying around that we see all across the country. And just like that caterpillar turning into the butterfly, it's not easy. It's very, very difficult. And people who are going through those struggles are also having difficulties, but they are still busting through those limits. I have seen this hundreds of times in my former students, and now as an education consultant and master IEP coach, I am seeing this all the time. And this program is to share with you all the wonderful stories that I have learned about. And sometimes I get to interview people who are helping those bust through those limits. And that's who I have today with us. Today I have Megan Harms of Mind's Eye. Megan, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. It's nice to be here.
Awesome. So tell us, what is Mind's Eye?
Mind's Eye is an organization, we're a nonprofit organization that translates vision into audio. So we have four different programs, broadcast and beatball, which I am not an expert on, so I will leave those for another time. But the broadcast side, to give you a general rule, that's how we started in 1973 as a radio information service. So our volunteer readers read local newspapers and national newspapers, but we read things like the Schnucks ads, we read all sorts of things for people who are blind or visually impaired or print impaired, so they can just listen to their radio or their Alexa device or their Google device or their app and hear those things read to them. And then we also have a beatball team, which is kind of like what it sounds, basically beep baseball. I do not play beatball. But then we have two other programs, the Arts and Culture Accessibility Cooperative and Audio Description. And both of those I head up.
That's awesome. So as you were talking, I was thinking about, oh yeah, reading, like you said, the Schnucks ad.
Yeah, that's the most popular, the grocery store ads.
It's something that I hadn't thought about, that someone who was visually impaired still needs to have groceries and they still probably want to find the best deal on those groceries. And I hadn't even thought about the fact that they wouldn't have access to seeing what was on sale, except for this wonderful program that you all are doing there at Mind's Eye. And I always forget to tell the listeners this. If you are watching live, let us know, hashtag live. If you're watching on the replay, let me know, hashtag replay. And of course, if you have any questions or comments for Megan, please be sure to put them in the chat. And if you get them in while we're doing it live, she will be able to answer them while we're on air. If not, I will pass those along to her and we will get those answered for you in the future. Awesome. Okay. So back to, I always forget the like businessy side of stuff because I'm always so excited and I just want to know what's going on with my guests. So when I came across Mind's Eye, the beatball was something that was talked about. And then I was told by, I believe they're both kind of your bosses, that you are an award-winning audio describer. Or is that how you even say it? I don't even know.
Yeah.
So tell us about this award that you received from the American Council of the Blind, what it's called, why you got it, what that meant to you to receive it.
Yeah, I was so honored to receive the Achievement in Audio Description in Performing Arts for an Individual from the American Council of the Blind, which obviously is a nationwide organization, the American Council of the Blind. And it is, there are only, I think, 7 or 9 total awards given out per year. And those are for different, for an individual, for an organization, for media, international, that sort of thing. So it's a very small group of people that receive these awards every year. And so I was really shocked because, you know, we're here in the St. Louis area and we're a very small organization. I always say I'm the head of the audio description department. Department size one. I am the head and the tail
and
of
the whole department.
I'm the whole department of the audio description department. So it was really exciting that little old me would be recognized, especially, you know, here in the Midwest. There's not a lot of audio description, particularly in the St. Louis area. And I guess maybe I should say what audio description kind of is, maybe explain that a little bit more.
That might be helpful, yes.
So audio description, again, back to the beginning, translating vision into audio. We go to lots of different places, primarily live theater, but live theater, sporting events, lectures, museums, the Eclipse, basically anything where there is visual information that's not presented that we can share with people who are blind or visually impaired. So I would go into the theater, I would wear a headset similar to this and talk into a microphone directly into a transmitter that goes out to people in the theater, the same theater that I'm in, wearing headsets that will listen to what I'm saying. So basically I'm telling them about costumes and sets and action that's happening on stage, facial expressions. Basically, I say what I see. So anything that I can see that is helpful that they are not getting, that's what we do.
So, okay, as I'm thinking about, you know, a person who is sighted, you know, my brain is processing that information at the same time it's processing what I'm hearing.
Yes.
So I think for myself, there has to be a skill developed for the listener, right? Because you're listening to what is being said up on the stage or wherever, and then you're also listening to someone describing the colors and the costumes, like you said, the stage, all of that. So am I?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things there. One is during a production or something like that, where there's dialogue, one of the cardinal rules of audio description is to not step on dialogue. So we're talking in between those parts. However, yes, there is a skill there because you're listening to the actor say a line and then me say something, you know, she turns and looks at him and then an actor. So you have to process all of this information. And one thing I think it's hard for sighted people to remember is that sight is simultaneous. You're seeing 100 things at one time and you're comprehending, you know, the costume that she's wearing, the look on her face, the guy getting a gun in the background and the set changing behind them. And audio description is linear. Speech is linear. So right. You can only say, this is what she's wearing. She's smiling. There's a guy behind her getting a gun. You can only, it's a very short amount of space to say all of these things right. When someone who's sighted sees all of it at once.
Right.
So as a describer, you really have to develop a skill to use really concise language and to know the words that are most effective in the shortest way, in the shortest amount of time, but also know when to be quiet. And because it still takes time, it takes longer to comprehend spoken language than it does visual information. Mm-hmm. So you can't just be blah, 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 because people will not only will they not know what you're talking about, they will not even know what the dialogue is anymore because it's everywhere. Right. So yeah, it is a skill for the describer and for the listener. And I think that is something that's lost a lot of times is people just think, well, they're just listening to you say what you're seeing and they don't have to think about anything. Well, of course you do. You have to think, if I say something, you have to understand what I'm saying, whether you're sighted or not. So yeah, that's a good point.
I want to really bring out something that you said, and I hope I say it in the way that you said it, because it is so important for everyone, but our students in schools, I'm thinking of specifically. I'm a former special education teacher, and I still help families as they're going through the special education process and the whole IEP team write accommodations. And you said that our brain processes visual things faster than when we are hearing things. And so that is right. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure
that is what I said in a general term. Yes. That is okay. What I said. I said it generally.
right. But I'm just thinking, you know, that's why it's so important for manipulatives often to be used, and drawings and diagrams and, you know, other things that can help other than just saying, well, this is how you do it and go for it.
Yeah. And actually, that's a really good point, because audio description is not just for people who are blind and visually impaired. We also always say, or for people who do not process vision as quickly as they do other things, because it could be people use audio description who have had a traumatic brain injury. So they can see, but they are not processing as quickly what they're seeing. Some people don't understand as quickly without a little bit of nudging. What am I looking at here? So it's not that you can't see, or people that are on the autism spectrum. Sometimes people that just need help focusing on something. So a lot of people use audio description who are not blind or visually impaired, but it's often for that same purpose that, as a general rule, most people do process vision quicker than they process the audio. So for anyone who doesn't process it in that quote unquote norm, audio description is useful.
I love that you just did quote unquote norm, because I do that all the time. It's like, what is normal? Quote unquote right. normal. The normal this, right. the normal that. So I just love that. And I'm going to have to tell people that I just met Megan literally like 40 minutes ago. And so for her to do that is just, that's just so cool to me that I'm not the only one that does that, because really what is not. Normal. But yeah, so that's really fascinating. So, I know what I have you on here for is not what this question is about, but, do you do programs for in schools? Or is that something I'm going to talk to Jason about when I have Jason on?
Well, I guess yes and no. I mean, we work with theaters who are doing things in schools.
Okay.
So like Metro Theater in particular, they do a lot of, well, they're a theater, but their theater productions are for everyone, but are often for kids. And so they have things like, they did a production called Jacked, which was kind of a modern retelling of Jack and the Beanstalk. And so they were doing these virtual field trips, and we did audio description for their live performances before the pandemic, but these virtual field trips, we did the audio description for the field trips as well. So we pre-recorded it so that when they went into the schools virtually, that there was also this option. So we haven't ourselves gone into schools, but we've been a part of other organizations going into school. Same thing with Opera Theater. St. Louis Shakespeare Festival. And Opera Theater, we did Pirates of Penzance. Same thing. That was their, what would have been their touring company that goes into the schools. Uh-huh. They did virtual field trips. So we did their audio description. So we were in the schools. They just didn't know it was us.
Right. That is so awesome. Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask for a favor, and I'm not going to put you on the spot to do it right now. I want to give you a chance to think about if you want to do this, but I'm just sitting here thinking for my listeners and my audience to kind of feel what your audience feels. Would you be willing if I said, okay, now everybody just close your eyes, would you audio transcribe kind of what you're seeing, because what you're seeing on your side is different than what I see on my side anyway. But is that something that you would be willing just to give a little bit?
Sure. And actually, this is something that's interesting, because this comes up a lot in like Zoom meetings, and webinars and things like this, whether you describe yourself or you don't describe yourself. Sometimes people do, sometimes they don't. And sometimes it turns into, you know, 20 minutes of, "Hi, I'm Bob. I'm wearing a gray shirt and I have gray," you know, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is a meeting about like accounting. We don't, you know."
It's boring enough. Oh, sorry.
And like the one person who is blind that's on this call is not going to memorize what every person is wearing in this meeting. But a lot of times, I should have started off like this. My name is Megan. I am a woman in my early 40s. I have long gray hair. I'm in my dining room, so you can see my dining room curtains behind me that are cream colored. I'm wearing a purple dress that has sentence diagrams on it, believe it or not, and a heart-shaped necklace with a headset. And Shelly is on the other side of the screen, and she is also in her home. So behind her, you can see a shelf with some small knickknacks on it. And she has, I can only see to right below her shoulders, but I assume her hair is longer than that.
Yes.
And she's wearing glasses, and she's wearing possibly a black blazer. And we're on a split screen. And below is the text, hashtag no limits with Megan Harms of Mind's Eye. So
wow.
There you go. So, and it really is, audio description is really different for different things. Like, you know, for a meeting, like I just said, you would cut a lot of stuff short. Here's Shelly, here's Megan, here's, you know, depending on what's important versus a musical with a big dance number and lots of costumes and exciting things. We're doing a Cardinals game tonight. One of my favorite things to describe at the Cardinals game is what Fred Bird is doing. So I got that feedback after my first game was, the comment was maybe a little less Fred Bird. Oh, okay, guys, I got it. But, you know, so you're describing very different things, but you are still describing your setting. This is where we're seated in the stadium. So this is the side. So when I say it's right in front of us, we're on the first baseline.
Okay.
So, and here are the uniforms. I also like to talk about Wainwright was pitching that night. Like he's wearing his high socks. So, you know, this is what that looks like, versus something like a museum where you're just, you know, you're probably literally standing in front of someone and walking place to place to place and looking at different things. So, audio description is one of those things where we say, oh, it's, you just say what you see. It's really easy, which is such a misnomer because it's
right.
There's a lot more to it than saying what you see, and everything is different. Every different thing that you can do is different, basically.
Right. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, that is such I want to say smart point about bringing Fred Bird in, because while, you know, most of the attention is paid to what is happening with the players on the field, there is lots of other stimulus going on at a baseball game. You know, you could have the vendors coming down. Well, I mean, both pre-pandemic, you could, you know, you have the wave happening with the audience that people catch. You have
the kiss cam,
you know, the kiss cam. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was going to say the billboards and the, you know, if the fireworks go off because of a home run being hit. And I can't think of the number, but, and I don't, maybe you know it, like how much stimulus we take in. I know that our eyes are the most used muscle in our body because we are always taking it. It's something like, it's an astronomical number, like millions of bits of information per minute or.
I do not know that number, but it would be a good one for me to know.
Because, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, like, even when you were describing, you know, what our screen looks like, what you look like, what I look like, I'm thinking, okay, well, the person also has to have an idea of what you're describing.
Yeah.
You know, so blind, if someone is blind from birth, would they know what purple is?
So that's something that comes up a lot. There's one thing we talk about a lot with audio description. First of all, is the myths of blindness. People say, oh, this person is blind. That means they've never seen anything and all they see is black and that's the end, which that's a very small percentage of people. Small percentage of people who have never seen anything ever. A larger percentage of people lose their sight later in life, or even if they lost their sight as a child, most will have some sort of visual memory. Okay. And a lot of people who are blind, and we say blind or visually impaired, although there is kind of a push in some areas to just say blind instead of visually impaired, because if you're blind, you're blind. If you have a visual impairment, if you are blind, meaning your vision is worse than 20/200 without the ability to be corrected with glasses or anything else.
Okay.
Then you are categorized as blind. So some people can actually see quite a bit, but they're still blind. So you may be able to see you may be able to see only colors. So purple might be something that's very obvious. You know, you definitely know what purple is. Or you may be able to see very well. I have a friend that can see great if you're standing right in this spot in front of him. He has great vision in that little pinpoint of a spot and nothing around it. There are so many different types of visual impairments that it's such a wide range that it's hard to assume that anyone can or can't see anything. There are lots of people that have really no working vision. That is accurate, that they use audio description along with many other orientation and mobility devices, such as a white cane or a guide dog, or maybe a monocular. So maybe they do have vision, but only right here. And so they literally use what looks like kind of a little telescope. Uh-huh. So there are lots of different devices, but this idea that like they don't have any idea is kind of a myth.
Well, so, good. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah, and it is something that everybody says, well, you know, we always say people, even if you're blind, even if you've been blind since birth and you have seen nothing but blackness, you still understand concepts. Mm-hmm. You still understand the concept of this is an abstract painting instead of saying this is an abstract painting in these colors with this sort of thing, you just start out with there's pink paint splashed one way and one, it'd be like, and then you get to the end. So, and the person's like, well, so it's an abstract painting. Oh, yes. And I guess I could have led with that. Yeah. So there is this concept, and color is a big one. Because even if you haven't seen color before, which again, a lot of people have, and have some memory of it, people associate colors with different things. The sky is blue, the grass is green, you're red hot with anger. So there is, even if they don't really know in their mind, they don't see that color, they have an association with that color. So we still describe in colors when we can, unless we know, this is part of knowing your audience. If we know that there's only one person in the audience and they say, I don't care about color, it means nothing to me, I'll just use those words for something else. So
that's so cool. Yeah, the other thing that struck me when you were describing is I was seeing so much more than you were describing.
Yeah.
But that goes, you know, that's what made me think about the fact that we're taking in all this stimulus all the time through our eyes, and to be able to pick out the things, like you said earlier, that are the most important or that are going to get the idea across as quickly with as few of words as possible so that you're not constantly talking while whatever else is going on.
Yeah. And the things that are most important, that is, I think, a mistake a lot of newer audio describers make, is they're going to describe every single thing that they see in every single moment and I will take my headphones off, because as a sighted person, I don't want to hear that much stuff. You know, it's that idea of like every single thing is important. it's not always that important, you know. And if people want extra information, we can always give it to them, which is part of the reason when I started describing, I still am not a huge fan of describing live theater, because I like to be very, I'm a very prepared person. Uh-huh. I want to know, I'm terrified that I'm going to step on a line, and you know, if I do this. Where the difference of being like on a museum tour or the tour of the zoo or something, when you have someone next to you, first of all, everything is new. Like, you didn't know that zebra was going to do that. So it's fine. You can say whatever. But then you also have the person right next to you that can say, can you explain that more to me? Or what did you mean when you said this? Right. There's this really, really awesome podcast called Talk Description to Me. With JJ Hunt and Christine Malick. And they actually were also winners of the American Council of the Blind Awards.
Oh, nice.
So I was very excited to be like winning an award the same time they were, called Talk Description to Me. And it's kind of something that we describe as social audio description. So Christine is visually impaired and JJ is a describer. So, and it's the two of them, and he'll be describing something that's going on, but she's there to ask questions. Like they recently went through a car wash, and it's something she never understood, and she'd always wanted to know about. So they went through a car wash, and he was, you know, describing all of these brushes and soaps and suds. And then she would say, well, what does this mean? And I would always think like, oh gosh, it never occurred to me that you wouldn't know what that was magically, like how you would magically know what this is. So that is, it's my favorite podcast. So
well, that's what when you were talking, I was writing it down because I want to look that up.
Yeah, please do look it up. They are actually broadcast on Mind's Eye on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. and then again on Wednesdays, but you can find them on any podcast platform. But they are kind of an unusual example of audio description, because oftentimes audio description is, you know, it's a movie, it's a television show, it's very specific things where there's no question and answer sort of situation. It's here's what's happening, the end. So
wow, okay, so I just looked at the time and we've almost hit the 30 minute mark, and we really haven't talked a lot about specifically what Mind's Eye does and what you specifically do. So I definitely want to talk about that. So if you can tell us more about, and I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm going to pull up the page, the Arts and Culture Accessibility Cooperative.
Sure. So that is another part of Mind's Eye, something else. And I kind of organize the Arts and Culture Accessibility Cooperative, which is a group of people and organizations from all across the St. Louis metro area. And really, because we've gone virtual this year during the pandemic, we really have people from all across the country. But we get together virtually and talk about accessibility issues in the arts specifically. So we have people who participate in our forums who are from the St. Louis Zoo, from the Missouri History Museum, from the Art Museum, from the Muni and the Fox, but also lots of small local theaters like Looking Glass Playhouse in Lebanon, and all sorts of big and little arts organizations, also advocates for accessibility and disability rights activists, also people who have a variety of disabilities and are advocating for themselves. So we have a different, we call them now morning meetups via Zoom currently. Right. And we have a different topic every other month. we used to have breakfast in the morning, sadly. Sadly, we're just all eating.
You can do that virtually. I mean, you can all have breakfast. It's just not all together in a fun thing.
Yeah. And we used to meet in a lot of those cultural places, the botanical garden or the zoo, you know, and have those meetups. And talk about accessibility. So we have one coming up this month on September 22nd. And this specific month, we're talking about accessibility in unique spaces. So we always focus on accessibility. And with ACAC or ACAC and ACAC, we're not focused specifically on people who are blind and visually impaired, which is the rest of Mind's Eye. All of our organizations are really focused on people who are blind and visually impaired. ACAC is really about accessibility in general in the arts and culture, which is how we get, I always say that includes sports, because that's the Blues and the Cardinals, that is part of culture.
That's right.
And it is, especially in St. Louis.
Yes, most definitely.
So we get together and we have these discussions, and we've had lots of different things. Last in July, we had a speaker, Beth, from the National Endowment for the Arts. So we found that this pandemic has had some pluses, where we were able to have someone from definitely out of state come to talk to us about the National Endowment for the Arts and accessibility. That was an ADA Basics, so okay. Americans with Disabilities Act Basics, a 101 sort of course. And for all of our forums, we have American Sign Language, we have live real-time captioning, and we have audio description, of course. So we try to make it as accessible as possible and make any accommodations that we can. So we have had lots of different discussions about different things. In January, we had our first IDEA Awards for inclusivity. Let's see if I can get them, remember them all. Inclusivity. What's D? Equity and accessibility. Everyone has DEI awards, and now I can't remember what D is. but it'll come to me. But basically it's about making your organization more accessible to everyone. That's what ACAC is about, is how to make your organization, your cultural institution, more accessible for anyone. We will also have one in November that's going to be about the importance of internal training. We find that a lot of places, it's great that your 504 officer or your ADA compliance officer or your accessibility person knows all of this stuff. It doesn't matter if a person walks in with a guide dog and the person at guest services doesn't know what to say to you.
Right.
It doesn't matter when you go to a desk and you ask for an audio description device and they hand you a hearing assist device because they don't know the difference. So that's a big, that's one of our big, complaints from people, is that it's great that this one person in your organization is a great advocate and they're doing all these things. But if your regular ushers, your regular house manager, your regular everyman doesn't know what we're talking about, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you are the greatest advocate that there is in St. Louis accessibility.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly. That's so important. And I'm going to totally call myself out here, because I don't think I know the difference between the hearing and the yeah. transcribing device.
So that's an interesting thing. So if you go into most theaters, and that would be live theaters and a lot of movie theaters, you can get, so a hearing assist would just be basically the microphones that are on stage are going to your device. So you can, it's loud directly to you. It's just louder. That's all. Okay. A hearing assist is just louder. Whereas okay. audio description, you're going to hear me or one of our volunteers describing. So, and a lot of times that is because the person who walked up to the counter just said, I need a set of headphones.
Gotcha.
And doesn't say for what, or they'll say, I need a listening device. And do you mean which kind of listening device? Because right. they're both listening devices. A lot of that internal training is the person asking the right questions. Also things like ticket sales. We often have times where people are going to a show and they're taking a guide dog and they call to order tickets and they say, I have a guide dog. And the ticket person says, okay, great. And then they seat them in the middle of a row. And then when they get there, an usher says, well, you can't sit here.
Oh.
You know, that's
right.
That's, you're not asking the right questions.
Right.
If someone says, I will have a guide dog, you know, the next line is, do you need to be in ADA seating, or is this, will this work for you? How much room? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Versus, oh, oh, well, now you're here and you've just traversed this whole theater to get here, to get to this seat for somebody to tell you, no, you shouldn't, this is not where you can sit. So yeah, there's a lot of little things to think about.
Yeah. And I mean, that's such a good point. And again, going back to my experiences in special education, I mean, we need to train not just our teachers and our administrators, but we spend so much time working with our kids in special education for them to be able to adapt to the general education, but we don't give any training to the general education population right. of how to interact with someone who is in special education.
Right.
And it's,
or the people like their students, the other students that are right. in the classroom with them, or the maintenance person, or
right, the bus drivers,
you know, and some of this, it's not rocket science. People say, oh, we just treat them like everyone else. Well, yeah, that's a great rule to follow. Treat them like everyone else until you say to someone, oh, you're here to pick up your device. Here it is. And you just hold your hand out and the person can't see where you're holding your hand out. Or you say, oh, I just need you to sign here.
Where's here?
Both yeah. things that I have done after knowing all of this. You know, you still forget those things because I'm still a sighted person that doesn't deal with that on a daily basis or on an hourly basis. I don't have to think about where do I put my pen to sign this document that I can't read because I can't see it. You know, so there, all of those little things, and it's so much about education. I know someone, kind of back to audio description, but both ACAC, I know an organization, and they were based in the UK. They had an audio description training, and it was for kids. And this just blew my mind, and I desperately want to do this, so wow. look for this in the future. So they had a weekend audio description training, and these kids who were sighted learned how to audio describe. And then at the end of the weekend, they described a show, a kid's show, to kids who were blind and visually impaired. And a lot of them were siblings of people who were blind and visually impaired. They were classmates or friends. Most of them had some very specific connections with them. But it's so cool on so many levels, because just think of the understanding, like that you and I don't have that sort of understanding,
right?
Because I have not experienced that before. And now right. because of audio description, I have some understanding, but unless I become blind or visually impaired, I'm not going to have that. But imagine if instead of getting that understanding later in life, you understood as an 8-year-old,
right?
These are things that are important for them. And putting that into practice at such an early age, and then those kids, not just because I need audio describers and it would be great to start them off as 8-year-olds and be like, come volunteer for me for the rest of your life. But I just think it is a great lesson in empathy and understanding and coming from, you know, something that you don't know or you don't understand. So that's something I am looking to my friends in a couple of the theaters we've been talking about, for a bit. So look for that in the future for a kid's audio description training. Speaking of that, we have an audio description training coming up September 25th and 26th. It is specifically for people who would like to volunteer for Mind's Eye, because as I said, I'm the head of our audio description department, department size one. But I can't do all of these shows myself. So right. we have a pool of volunteers that go into these places either as a describer or what we call an ambassador. And those are the people that usually hand out the devices, because we take our own equipment into most places. They hand out the devices and they talk to people. So we have a kind of a beginner's get to know audio description course, where we talk about how to become an audio describer, why we describe. We spend a lot of time on why we describe, what's important about describing, and then actually describing, which is why it's 2 days. Right. And then hopefully those people will become volunteers and they get to do all sorts of cool things. I was just thinking yesterday, I don't even know how many Cardinals games I've been to this year because I've been describing them, right. And Blues games, but also every Muni performance. We were at the Muni Mondays and Saturdays this year. So lots of, if you like to go to the theater, you can go to lots of free shows.
Right.
You describe for us. All sorts of cool perks to being an audio describer. So it can definitely come train with me. Come
I'm
volunteer.
Hypnotizing you.
Yes, please come. And I do want to point out that, as I mentioned, I am a 40-plus-year-old white woman. We are looking to diversify our team as much as possible. So we are specifically looking for someone that just sent me a message yesterday that said, well, I'd like to do this, but I am white and I don't speak Spanish. I'm like, that's fine. It doesn't matter that you're white. I'm also white and don't speak Spanish. And that's why right. I need people who are not white and do speak Spanish.
Right.
But we are specifically looking for people who are Black or Latinx or Hispanic, people who are Jewish, people who are in the LGBTQ community, people specifically who speak Spanish and or speak Bosnian. Those are two very specific languages that we're looking for, although we'd love it if you're fluent in other languages and would like right. to describe something. We're just looking to diversify because there are times, well, all the time representation matters. And there are times when I'm not a good representation. It's not a great representation for me to go to the Black rep. And sometimes I have described it the Black rep before, and it really depends on the show. When the show, you know, I was the only one who was available. So I was describing this show where a woman was talking about the importance of being a Black woman and what it was like. And here's me, the white girl, saying, and this is what her hair looks like. And this is, you know, representation matters, even as the audio describer.
Right.
So also, I didn't say this, Native Americans, strongly, any tribe or nation, one of the coolest and hardest, probably the hardest thing I've ever described is we did the Washu powwow. It was virtual this past year, and it was amazing, but I have no background. And it was I was spending hours and hours and hours just like looking at feathers. Like, what is this? And is it in her right hand or is it in her left hand? It was a bit, you know, this things that you don't, not only that you don't know,
right.
that you have no depth of information on because I don't have the background in the history. So it's so important to diversify. So if you fit into any of those categories, or if you're just a plain old white woman who doesn't speak Spanish, we will also take you. Or man, please, men also.
So there's a couple things that was a lot. There was
sorry.
No, that's fine. I didn't want to interrupt you because it was all very important to hear and for you to be able to say it. So you said that like at the Muni, you only had specific days.
Yeah.
And so I had already been thinking about this question prior to that is, how does someone know what days or what opportunities a place has for them in the audio transcription?
That is a good question. I am going to correct you. Description.
Description.
We talked about that last. Description, because we are describing things.
Right. Transcription would be writing. Yeah. And as soon as I said transcription, I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. Description. So there are some places like the Muni, they have a very set schedule. We are there every Monday, every Saturday. So, and that's actually new this year. We used to only be there on Mondays. So they added Saturdays this year. So it doesn't matter what show it is. If it's a Monday or Saturday, we're going to be there. Other places are not quite like that. Places like the Rep, we're always there on a Thursday, but not every Thursday. So we encourage the places that we work with to always list audio description, not just bury it on the accessibility page somewhere on their website, but if you're looking at a list of dates, here are all your ticket dates, it says audio description right on that date. So,
gotcha.
You know, right where you would have Century Friendly or ASL audio description. We also post all of those things on our website, on our social media. I send out a lot of emails. If you're on our email list, send out a lot of emails with all of those things. So we try to get that information out as far in advance as possible. Because a lot of places, let's face it, I mean, the Muni is the biggest theater in St. Louis. They have 11,000 seats. So as far as, you know, a straight out theater, they can have audio description more often than a lot of other places that may be running, especially during the pandemic, they may be running for a month and one day has audio description. So it's really important that people know that one day. We do encourage venues to try to have 2 days, and so there's enough and have enough time in between them so it can get around. Like, I went to this show on this day and it's really great, and they're having it again next Thursday. So that would, you know, that's great. And that's another thing about internal training. So if someone calls your ticket office and says, what day are you having audio description? You don't say the day that you're having American Sign Language instead of the day that you have audio description.
Right.
Or, you know, say, I don't know, what is that? So all of those things are really important. The easiest way to know when we have something is to get on our email list so that I send you lots of emails about it. But we do have a variety of venues and locations, and there is no set rule of when and where that is.
Okay. So what would be, I'm going to type this in as you tell it to me, what would be how they, the address to get on your email list?
Sure. You could, and actually, if you are on our website.
Oh, okay. I can do that. I can share that.
There is actually a, there are a couple different things. So if you go up to audio, if you go up to audio description, get audio description.
Okay.
There. And then go to, you can actually go over to upcoming events. There is a calendar there. You can, we have this little trick that is a join our mailing list. Here's one thing that you could do, and you can type in the chat. They could email me.
Okay.
At mharms@mindseyeradio.org.
Mindseyeradio.org, you said?
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And that'll get you on there. You can also go to our website.
So let's make sure that I typed that in there. So it should, you should be able to see it.
Yep, that is accurate.
Okay, good. So that way, in case it doesn't show up on the feed somewhere, at least it's in the video, and so people can see it there as well.
And follow us on Facebook.
Okay. And you have a Facebook page. So here is their website. It is mindseyeradio.org, just like the email address. And as you can see, they have lots of information here.
There's a video that we did that was actually from the Botanical Garden. Okay. We've been doing lots of virtual stuff during the pandemic as well.
And what... one thing that you didn't mention, I know you said kids, but what is the, like, is there an age that you don't want?
No.
Okay.
for volunteers or in general? No, the one thing that we do say is, because we have a lot of teenagers that ask about it, is that transportation can be a problem, because you're literally going out to venues. So you are going to the Muni, you are going to this place. Now, of course, we're asking you to volunteer somewhere. So we're not going to just assign you to go, you know, some out to St. Charles if you live somewhere else, you know?
Right.
But that is usually, thank you. You found it. I knew you would find it
eventually. I'm not going to stop looking.
I knew you would find it eventually. Mailing list. There it is. But transportation can be an issue, as long as what we're looking for is people that are reliable, that we can count on. And here is something I didn't mention that I should, about being a specifically an audio description volunteer. And Jason, we have volunteers for other programs as well, and Jason can talk about those. But specifically for audio description, there is background work. We read the script in advance. We go to a preview in advance. We look at photos of costumes. We look at photos of sets. So it's not the sort of volunteer work where you show up 5 minutes before a show starts and then the show is over and you sign off on your 2 hours and you're done. There is background work. So I want to toss that out there. I don't want to scare anybody off. Not so much for an ambassador. An ambassador, you would show up, you're happy, hand out things and you're friendly and then you leave. But eventually we want you to become a describer. And there it is, we especially like people who are writers, whatever your age is. We like people who have experience in theater. That does not mean you have to be an actor. It doesn't mean anything about acting because we're not part of the show. We're not there to be a voice performer, which is why I always say writers are great audio describers, because they're the wordsmiths. They're the ones that can come up with the best words. People who are great at improv, which I am not. I'm not at all. It's hard for me to think on my feet. So, you know, people like that. But age, as long as you are reliable and can get yourself somewhere and will do the work as a volunteer, yes, we love anyone who is willing to help us.
That's awesome. And so this might be a Jason question, and I keep referring to Jason. Jason is the director, correct?
He's the president and CEO.
Okay, the president of and CEO of
Mindhive. You can call him director too, you chief, whatever.
He will actually be joining me on, I think it's the 21st.
I think the 21st is what I heard. Yeah.
And so he's going to be going over more things with us. And then hopefully in the future also, I will have some members of the Archers beatball team. And I apologize for my house phone ringing. Oftentimes I have somebody else in the house with me that can take care of that, but I'm here by myself today. So I apologize for the phone ringing. I forgot to take it off the hook. And yes, I'm one of those people who still has a landline. So. but yeah, so. Now I forgot what my question was going to be for possibly Jason or not. Oh, the you were talking about the writers and the describing. So we've been talking about going to events, mm-hmm. and describing events and different things, but, the radio part, mm-hmm. like we talked about at the very, very beginning, the, you know, reading the Schnucks ad, reading the newspaper, is that more Jason or is that still you?
That's more Jason. Okay. But I can tell you that those people are not going places.
Right.
Unless they're coming into the studio, which before the pandemic, everyone came into the studio and read, or a lot of people came into the studio and read. But we have a lot of remote readers now. So if you're looking for something where you're not leaving the house, we'd still like to have you as a volunteer, but that would be a Jason volunteer. And that's also on our website too. There's a different form. We have a lot of forms on the website. There's a different form for volunteering as a radio reader.
So. Awesome. That's good to know. Yeah, because I know at one time, when I first learned about your program, I had said something to my mom. She is an avid reader. And I said, you know, this, she was looking for something to do to volunteer, mm-hmm. and get involved. Well, she's approximately an hour away from where I believe your studios are. But so now that it's virtual, you know, she may have that opportunity to do that sort of thing.
Yes.
Because it's not just, well, I'll talk to Jason about that. I only have a few more minutes with you, so I want to make sure that I focus on you and your things. So very quickly, kind of tell me how many events, and if you want to name specific ones, or if you just want, sure. to give me kind of an overall general number, or also if you would tell approximately how many volunteers you have currently, and then the number of people who are benefiting from these services.
Sure. So it varies month by month how many events we have. There are some months that are a lot, that are really full. June was super full. We currently have on our schedule through the end of the year about 80 events total. And that was during a pandemic, remember? So
right.
Some of those were virtual events, but those were all things that we have described. And actually, we have about 5 more virtual things that are not on that list. So we have a lot of, and also, you know, it's only September, the beginning of September. So we do have dates all the way out till May now that are already scheduled, but most people don't schedule that far out. Like that's the rep is scheduled that far out, and Looking Glass Playhouse is scheduled out. But there are a lot of things. October will be a very busy month for us. Also, but it really changes. June, we had Opera Theater of St. Louis, which we were doing, I think we had 12 12 dates with Opera Theater. Wow. And they were all in a very short time period. It was all like, you know, it was like 12 events in 14 days or something like that.
Gosh.
It was very, which is another reason why we need some more volunteers, because you can only do so many days of opera.
Like, right.
Oh my gosh, please somebody else do this. And it partly just because of all of that background work that we just talked about,
right.
Like, you know, and they had a very interesting schedule. It wasn't like a week of this show and then a week of this show. It was literally changing. So you go one night was this show, the next night was this show, the next night was this show. Wow. So you had all these different operas, and then I would literally get there and be like, wait, which one are we doing tonight? Which script is this?
Right.
you know, like, oh my gosh, what's happening? So Opera Theater was a big one for us this year. That was an organization that we picked up during the pandemic. Was someone that hadn't had audio description before. And we did, as I think I mentioned, Pirates of Penzance was a virtual event that they were doing. And then they went from nothing, having no audio description, to having two performances of each production audio described.
Wow.
Which was great. We just did a training at the zoo, which was kind of a refresher training. We had trained them a few years ago. So that's something else that we do, is we'll go into places and train their staff. So then they are audio describers at this. So the zoo has audio describers. And the History Museum has audio described tours that they do themselves, because we trained them separately.
Okay.
Which is something else volunteers can do. We also have, so many different venues. St. Louis Shakespeare Festival has been a great one for us. We started out, that's how we started doing these virtual events at the beginning of the pandemic, because I know a lot of describers and a lot of organizations that just said, well, all the theaters closed, period, that's the end. And I have a background in describing virtually. I'm a contractor for a company called 3Play Media. So we do movies and television and things like that. So I thought, well, there's no reason that we can't do that. These people are putting it out there. So I contacted St. Louis Shakespeare Festival, was doing Cymbeline, and they had recorded it literally the last day. You know, we're going into lockdown tomorrow. This is a production that we have ready that was supposed to be going out to schools. We're recording it. And it was online. And I just called them up and said, hey, do you mind if I describe this? And they said, okay. and so that's how we've expanded with them. So we did Shakespeare in the Park, King Lear. We actually, this week, this Thursday, the 10th, the Ville of Vengeance, it's called, is actually St. Louis Shakespeare Festival. They're still going to be outdoors, but they're going to be outside the Annie Malone home. So that's something that we'll be doing. Some other new venues for us this year, Stages St. Louis at the Kirkwood Performing Arts Center. We just did Always Patsy Cline, and we have Jersey Boys coming up.
Nice.
Moonstone Theater is new for us. One of the big ones that people ask about all the time is Circus Flora. We'll have at least one date, a couple dates maybe with them. The Rep. Lots at the Fox. We have 4 dates at the Fox right now, I think. So lots of theater coming up.
Awesome. So you're very busy.
Yes. And you ask about how many volunteers. We have a pool of about 20 volunteers specifically for audio description. Not a lot of those are describers. Some of those are ambassadors. Some of those, but we need all sorts of volunteers. Some of those are people that after training said, you know, I don't think this is really for me, but I still want to help. And so they might be people that I send a written script to, and they just read over it and edit it, or they do voiceover work. So we'll write a script and then they'll actually do the voice for it. We've also done some things that are not localish. I just completed something for Cranart Art Museum in Champaign. For an exhibit called Crip, which is doesn't open till the end of this month. So those were art videos. So cool. That was a difficult one. But we've been doing stuff kind of because of the pandemic. Silver lining is we have been doing stuff kind of everywhere. We were at the Mead Museum in Massachusetts and doing all sorts of things kind of everywhere. So people who are interested in audio description have a lot of opportunities to get to know us.
That is so cool. I have so much enjoyed our conversation today, and I could sit and learn from you for a much longer period of time. However, we do have to close, and I can't thank you enough, Megan, and what you all are doing at Mind's Eye in your two departments sounds absolutely incredible. I'm so looking forward to talking to Jason, and I hope that we get to have the Archers on at some point because learning about visually impaired and blind people playing baseball is definitely a limit that I had in my own mind for blind and visually impaired. And so I'm happy to have that limit busted through in my own mind. And just very quickly, last little, is there anything else that you wanted to get out there today that we didn't cover?
No, just even if you think that you would not be a good audio describer, check us out. Or even if you think that your organization is too small or too big to be a part of the Arts and Culture Accessibility Cooperative, or you're not part of an organization, it doesn't really matter. Sorry, my phone is ringing. Just look us up and find us. There is also our Arts and Culture Accessibility Cooperative also has a Facebook group, and you can find this on Facebook, same way. Find Mind's Eye, you'll find ACAC. Awesome. And thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's been a true pleasure. I so very much appreciate you and all that you're doing again. And thank you everyone who was watching and who watches this on the replay. Let us know what you think. Make sure that you give it a thumbs up or you subscribe if you're watching on YouTube or you like this to watch more videos. If you're a baseball fan, you want to make sure that you're getting on when I'm talking to their beatball team, or even if I don't get the team, but I'm talking to Jason about it, you're going to want to watch and be aware of what's happening out there. So thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.